Well, good morning, Conqueror's Class. This is Brother Ray Shutt coming to you again this morning with another lesson from the Conqueror's Online Sunday School class. We sure do appreciate you joining us this morning, and we miss seeing each of you. I tell you this every week, but I really want you to know I do miss you. And if you're not able to be there at church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, listen, I hope these lessons are being a help to you, and I hope that they will encourage your heart and strengthen you to be able to live for God during these difficult times that we are currently living in. Last Sunday, we began a series of lessons entitled Zealous for the Truth. They're from the book of 2 Peter, beginning here in 2 Peter. We're going to go through several books in the New Testament, but we're looking at this thing about truth. And today's lesson is entitled Stirring Up Your Memory. Now, the Bible verse that we want to look at today for our lesson theme verse is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10, where the Bible said, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." I want to ask you something this morning, Conquerors. Are you satisfied with where you are today, spiritually speaking? Are you truly satisfied with where you are today, spiritually? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves, and we need to search out the Word of God. And I thought today I want to read you a passage of Scripture. Before we get into the actual lesson today, I want to read you a passage of Scripture from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. Now, it's a long passage, I know that, and it's going to take a little time to read it, but I really think it will help us today with the lesson from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 14. Now, if you will, join with us on our outline. It's there on the Sunday School webpage. You can go to that by clicking on our church website at opendoorchurch.org. And then if you'll go up to the top of the page, you can click on where it says Ministries. And then from there, go down to click on Sunday School. And then from there, click on Conquerors Sunday School Class. On our Conquerors page, we have several announcements there that pertain to our class, and then also there are links there for the Sunday School lessons themselves. So I hope these lessons will be a help to you today. I want us today to read through a passage found, again, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, beginning in verse number 5, where we read these words spoken by God through His servant Moses to the people whom He had chosen to be His own. And this is what he told him. He said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way and when thou liest down or when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. In this passage of Scripture, we can see how that God desired that his chosen people would never forget all he had done for them and had promised to do for them once they entered into that land of promise which God had given unto them. But you know, the sad truth is, God knew the hearts of his people. And he knew how prone they were, even as you and I are today still, to forget the Lord God who has been so good to us and to them even through the years. And when the children of Israel suffered in anguish and despair in Pharaoh's bondage, it was God who heard their cry and who brought them out of bondage with a great and mighty hand. And when they hungered in the wilderness and thirsted in the desert, it was God who gave them food to fill their bellies and water, cool, refreshing water to quench their parched tongues. When the enemies of God attempted to overtake them, it was God who fought their battles and who brought his chosen people out of the hand of certain defeat had they attempted to fight their own battle instead of trusting God. And when they wandered in the cold darkness of the desert nights, and they trudged forward through the scorching heat of the hot desert day, it was the God of their salvation and deliverance who overshadowed and who led them through the night with the warm and luminous light of his pillar of fire by night and his ever-present pillar of cloud, which shaded their path and kept them cool as they traveled in the bright desert sun that seemed to scorch them all throughout the day. When they had nothing of their own and had no place to go, it was God who supplied all their needs and gave them houses and vineyards, all in a land flowing with milk and honey. And God's desire was that they never forget all that he had done for them, and that they would enter that promised land as a radiant testimony of the wonderful grace and mercy of Almighty God, the Creator and Redeemer of all men. And is this not, too, what God desires for each of us today? To be grateful and appreciative of all God has done for us as his dear children who have been bought by the precious blood of God's sinless Lamb and redeemed and made whole and have been made to sit in heavenly places so that in the ages to come he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus? But oh, how quickly you and I are so prone to forget all that God has done for us, even as were the children of Israel in their day. And the truth is, were it not for the precious Holy Spirit of God who dwells within the heart and the soul of every born-again child of God, and how he tenderly prods us to recall God's great hand of blessing upon our lives and to not forget to give God the honor that he deserves for his mighty hand of blessing being upon each of us, if it were not for him, each of us today would be well on the same pathway of forgetfulness, even as were the children of Israel after all that God had done for them. But as we consider this thought in the light of this lesson series entitled Zealous for Truth, and we find ourselves standing on the very edge, the very precipice of forgetfulness with God, may we, as God's dear children, be ever ready and willing to have the memories of God's hand of blessing stirred within our hearts and our minds so that we might be ever more ready to trust the Lord and to follow his every desire and intent for our lives while we live in this present evil world. You know, the words of a song entitled, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, came to my mind and helped me to remember the words of the Apostle Paul found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, which say, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen to the words of this wonderful song as we look at the lesson today, which is entitled, Stirring Up Your Memory. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. And as these words rushed through my mind, they also spoke to my heart. And they reminded me of the wonderful privilege that I have personally as a born-again child of God to allow the truth of the Word of God to so permeate my being as to cause me never to forget God's blessings upon my life so that I might truly desire His will for my life instead of my own. Dear child of God, conquerors, listen to me. If you and I ever choose to forget what God has done for us, then we will soon become stagnant in our love for God and will soon forfeit the blessing of our service unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In this lesson today, the Apostle Peter writes to the Christian saints of his day so as to stir up their physical and spiritual memory of exactly what all God had done for them so that they could forever experience the true joy of their salvation as they chose to gladly serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may you and I be willing to do the same thing today. And oh, may we be willing to allow the Holy Spirit of God to stir up our memory today as we look at this lesson entitled, Stirring Up Your Memory. You know, no person that ever gets saved and has their sins blotted out by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and having their heart washed whiter than snow should ever become simply satisfied to know that they are no longer on their way to a devil's hell, but that they're now on their way to heaven. No one should ever be just simply satisfied with that fact. You see, the proof of one's salvation and the mark of true spiritual growth and maturity should be that ever-present desire to learn more about the one who has saved us. And in having that new inward desire to tell the old, old story of Jesus' precious love to anyone and everyone they come in contact with. And to crave the Word of God as would a man who has been long stranded in a desert wilderness without food or water, and he longs to get more and more to satisfy his thirsty and hungering soul. And yet today, it seems like we see more and more people who call themselves Christians who have no desire whatsoever to be in the house of God whenever the doors are open. And they have no desire for fellowship with other believers. And they have no prayer life of their own. And they have no desire to witness to anyone in their family or at their workplace or even to have a close time of love and fellowship with the very one who they say has saved them. And folks, there is just something very wrong with that picture. You and I, who are indeed born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, even as Peter wrote there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, you and I should long to learn more about God's precious and holy word. And it should literally grieve our souls when we're not able to feed that hunger or quench that thirst that is within our soul through our faithful attendance to the house of God, or when we're unable to enjoy the sweet fellowship that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ in worship and praise unto God. Each of us should desire to know more about the great God who has saved us, and more about his promises that he has given to us through his holy word. We should desire to tell others about what Christ has done for us and what he wants to do for them. And we should desire to live more like Christ instead of more like the world. Why? Because we recognize all that he has done for us, and we should want to do now more for him. And by so doing, we are to grow spiritually and maturely for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in turn, as we grow, he helps us to develop a better Christian character trait in all that we do as we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you this morning? But let me ask you something, folks. What is the real purpose of Christian character development? And why is this so important to the Lord? And why was Peter, in these passages, trying to encourage the Christians of his day to be aware of their need for Christian character development? Well, let's look at what the Word of God has to tell us this morning in this lesson entitled, Stirring Up Your Memory. Now, follow along with us here in our outline. Point number one here, the purpose is seen right here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. And folks, we need to realize that God desires for our Christian life to be a life of fruitfulness. Now we see that here, beginning in verse number 8, Peter exhorts his readers to develop certain character qualities so that they can and will reap fruit in their spiritual life in Christ. But before we read verse number 8, let's go back just a few verses. Let's go back and pick up here in verses 5 through 7 from last week's lesson, and then we'll begin reading into verse number 8. All right, let's begin here. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Now verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you today the same question I had to ask myself as I begin to study for this lesson. Here's the question. Think about it now. Am I a fruitful Christian? I'm not asking you, are you going to heaven when you die? I'm asking you, while you're living right here on this present day evil world, are you being a fruitful Christian? Am I a fruitful Christian? Peter told his readers back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he said, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. You see, we can be fruitful if that is our desire. And if we give all diligence to add Christ-like character traits to our Christian faith and experience, we can be fruitful. Jesus told his disciples back in John chapter 15, verse number 5, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And if you go down to verse number 8 in that same chapter, Jesus told me, he said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. When we desire to be fruitful Christians, God gives us his character traits. And in so doing, He makes us to be fruitful Christians so that we may show forth the righteous character of God in our lives. But look at what Peter says here in verse number 9. He said, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Oh, that we as Christians might never forget what Christ has done for us, and in so doing become fruitless and useless children of God. If we become spiritually blind, think about this, then we have no spiritual vision. And as we remember from back in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. That means they die without hope. In verse 8, Peter identifies two outcomes for abounding in these character qualities. Look at it. First of all, number one, believers are not ineffective in their work for Christ. Look at what verse 8 says. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." That word barren, it means to become empty and ineffective, of no use, void of one's usefulness, fruitless. That's the definition of that word. But when we choose to live godly lives, we demonstrate the power of God in our lives, and our life yields visible fruit of Christian character qualities that are not only seen by us, but by others around us, and even by God, who blesses and continues to empower us to live and grow for His honor and for His glory. Again, Peter writes here in this verse, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." But number two, secondly, believers will not become unproductive in their work for the Lord. To become unproductive means that you're not effective in bringing something about. You're not yielding results that are desired. The Apostle Paul spoke of this over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25, when he said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God in order to bear fruit for Christ and to see our lost world saved. Peter is saying here that we need to mature and we need to grow up spiritually in order that the task at hand of winning folks to the Lord and winning our lost world to Christ can be accomplished. God has so designed each of us so that under normal circumstances, we can grow physically, mentally, and emotionally. But the child of God, the one who has been born again of the Spirit, has an additional dimension where they would be able to grow and develop, and that dimension is called spirituality. And the question is, are we growing in this added dimension? Are we growing and maturing in our Christian character traits brought about through our salvation experience and new birth in Christ? If we are truly born again, we should be, and this should be the norm in our lives as a born again child of God. Our spiritual maturity begins and continues to grow with knowing Jesus Christ, according to verse number 8. Look at what it said. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, through salvation, we have knowledge that is essential to our relationship. And within this relationship, we develop and grow in Christian character. But then secondly, we see this. Number B, the certainty of salvation in the Lord. Now look at verses 9 and 10, just a moment. The Bible said here, Peter writes, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Peter here describes the child of God who is both ineffective and unfruitful and is looked upon as being blind and unable to see what lies ahead. And though that child of God may indeed be saved, his lack of desire to be fruitful in the things of God has caused him to not see the real purpose for his salvation. And therefore, he is spiritually blind to the thing that really matters most unto God. Now, isn't that sad today? And aren't we seeing that in many churches today? Listen, to be saved and yet in many ways to be like those who are still lost is not God's plan for you and for me as born-again children of God. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Folks, being backslidden and blinded to the things of God makes a saved person resemble a lost person more than they resemble ever being saved or even resembling the one who has saved them. Peter here is explaining that the child of God who abounds in Christian virtues can see things as God sees them, and they can see the ultimate purpose for which God has saved them. Listen, the child of God that does not add these virtues to his salvation will experience forgetfulness. His ultimate purpose in God saving him will be lost, and soon he's blinded to the spiritual goals that God has set for his life to mature him and to grow him up in the things of God. How sad to think that one can actually forget how God has saved them and how God has forgiven them of all their sin and has called them to serve the one who saved them. So how can we avoid this spiritual amnesia is a good question, isn't it? How can we avoid becoming forgetful and unfruitful? Well, in verse number 10 here, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10, he said, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now look what he said here. He said, give diligence. That simply means get serious about being saved and about choosing the way that you're going to live for God now that you are saved. Instead of just seeing yourself simply saved from the fire, so to speak, and still just living any old way you want to live, you need to realize that God has saved you in order that you might lovingly and willingly serve him. You need to realize that God did indeed have an ultimate purpose and plan in saving you. Listen, when a little baby is born into this world, it is not born to just lay around and never learn to talk or to walk or to feed itself or to dress itself or to love its parents, but rather it has been birthed into this world for a purpose. And that purpose being that one day he'll be able to walk alone and to talk on his own and to love his parents and to later go on to school and learn things and one day get a job and continue to grow. That is the ultimate goal of every child that is physically born into this world. And the child of God who fails to add to their faith the virtues and the character traits of God, that child will soon become forgetful of what God has done for them. And they will even act as if they were never saved, never having the certainty of their salvation within their bosom or because of other things. And because of this, they will become disobedient to all that God has for them to do. And soon, they'll begin even to question whether or not God even loves them. And then Satan has them exactly where he wants them, ineffective and unfruitful as a child of God. And folks, this should never be. Godly living provides us with the evidence that we really are saved And in turn, it gives us the personal assurance that we really are saved. Our growth in Christian character and virtue provides us with an unmistakable evidence to all the world that we truly are saved. And notice what Peter says here now in verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And if you do these things, ye shall never fall. That phrase, your calling, refers to that fact that we have received God's invitation to be personally saved. And that phrase, and election, that refers to the choice that God made before the foundation of the world to love us and to save us and to place us into the body of Christ for his ultimate purpose of getting the gospel to all the world. Think about what the Bible says, folks. In John 3:16, Jesus reminded Nicodemus that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, we read, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, Peter writes, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." And in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, we're reminded there that according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. Gratitude, not pride, should be the proper response to God's saving grace in our lives as Christians. Then the rest of verse 10 explains that we're not only made certain of our salvation and eternal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but we are continually kept from falling back into sin by his wonderful grace. Look at it. "For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." Peter here is referring to the fact that if we will give diligence to living the way that we ought to live for Christ in the power of God, which yields fruit and spiritual growth in our lives as a child of God, then we will not fall into the ways of doctrinal error and false teaching. As born-again children of God, you and I have a personal responsibility not only to the God who has saved us, but to our own selves, folks, to do what God has commanded us to do so that we lock the door, so to speak, on the devil being able to get in and get a toehold in our lives and cause us to fall out of love with the Lord and become backslidden on God so that we drift away from God's purpose and plan for our lives. Mark these verses in your Bible, folks. Mark them, please, right now. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Folks, we know from God's word that we can never become unsaved once we have truly been saved by the wonderful grace of God. But if we choose not to grow for Christ, if we choose not to obey the Word of God, if we choose not to trust God and become fruitful Christians, listen, if we choose to live for ourselves instead of living for God, then those choices can and will cause us to stumble and fall into spiritual error. And we'll become deceived by false teachings and false doctrines. And we will become, for all practical uses, useless unto God. Paul reminds us that there is a battle going on in our lives every day, folks. The physical flesh wars against the new spiritual man inside. And if we're not careful, we can and will become spiritual castaways. Listen to what he said, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Why? Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Again, we know from the Word of God, folks, that we can never become unsaved once we have truly been saved by the wonderful grace of God. But because we still live in this old robe of flesh that is so prone to sin, we need to take all diligence, as Peter said, to stay in the Word of God and to live in obedience to God. This yields that certainty of our salvation that the devil is always trying to take away and to attack us with if we're not living in the Word of God and in obedience to His Word. And then look at verse number 11. Here we read these words, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You see, what God does here, God's plan for our abundant entrance into heaven is seen right here. God has made the way so that when we get to heaven, we don't have to get there empty-handed. Peter here is referring to how that one day, we're all going to enter into the very presence of the one who has saved us. We're going to enter into heaven. But how will we enter heaven? Abundantly fruitful or shamefully fruitless? God's plan is for us to enter in as fruitful Christians, not unfruitful. So the question is, how do you plan to enter into heaven when you die, dear child of God? Man, I want to enter in fruitful, don't you? But then lastly, I want you to see this in verses 12 through 14. I want you to see how Peter repeats all that he's been telling these folks. We see the repetition of the facts. Look at it with me here in verses 12 and 14. "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, and even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me." Right here in these verses, Peter again expresses the fact that he is determined to keep on reminding these dear Christians, to keep on reminding them of the importance of their spiritual growth and their spiritual maturity. It's so necessary to live a fruitful and spiritual life and to be effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, oftentimes the things we know we should be doing are the very things that we choose not to do. Don't get yourself so preoccupied with the things of this old temporal world. Keep your eyes on Jesus and remember that one day we are going to stand before Him and we are going to give account unto Him as His dear children for the way that we have lived or not lived for Him and for the fruit that we may have borne or should have borne and yet maybe chose not to bear for Him. Oh, what a thought to consider today, child of God. And what an awful thought it would be. What an awful thing it would be to one day stand before the very one who so loved us and who gave Himself for us and literally gave us the power to do all that He has commanded us to do for Him. and yet have to stand before him empty-handed and ashamed because we chose not to do the things of God that he has saved us to do. I believe with all my heart that when Peter was writing these words, he was thinking back to that day when he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. He had sworn that he would never do it, but he did. And I think he was thinking about that. And I think he was thinking about when he refused to believe that Jesus had really risen from the dead, as the other disciples had been to the tomb and came back and told him. And I think he also thought about it, and he got so discouraged in that way that he chose to go back to the old way of living there in John chapter 21, and how he caused other disciples to do the same thing. Folks, I want you to remember something. Never forget this. When you backslide on God, you never backslide alone. I want you to do something with me here real quick. I know our time is running away, but I want us to turn here to the book of John chapter 21. John chapter 21 and verses 1 through 3, where after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read this sad story about Peter and his backslidden condition. Listen to what the Bible said. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Dear child of God, you listen to me. When you choose to disobey God's word and you choose to live for yourself instead of for the Lord, you never affect just yourself. Your actions will always affect others, even as it did here in Peter's case with all these other disciples that went back to the old way of living. They went back to the old life. They went fishing, and yet they were not able to catch a thing. And as we read in these verses, now in 1 Peter and in 2 Peter, I believe that Peter himself could never forget those sad events in his own life. And so now he is trying to warn others not to fall into the same trap that Satan had for him. But then look at verses 12 and 13 where we see Peter's intent. Why did the Holy Spirit of God have Peter write these things? I'll tell you why. It was for your sake and for mine, as well as for the sake of those living in Peter's day. Look at what he wrote here in these two verses. Verse number 12, Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. And look at verse number 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, speaking of his flesh, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I truly believe that Peter kept the words of the Lord Jesus found in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, in his memory, where we read this. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Child of God, what is your intent today? Peter's intent here was to strengthen the brethren. Do you want to help others to live and grow for God? Or is it your intent to cause others to fall and to backslide because you choose not to love the Lord God the way that you know that you should? Oh my, what a terrible thought that would be. Peter told these dear folks in verse 12 that they needed to seriously recall these things. Though you know them, and be established in the present truth. That word established means they were to be fixed and settled in the truth. And folks, this was the only way that Peter would ever be able to strengthen the brethren as Jesus had commanded him to do. And this is the only way that you and I can be able to strengthen our brethren today around us so that they too might properly live for God But we must put into action the things that we know we ought to be doing for God. But then finally, I want you to look in verses 13 and 14, where we see the occasion given by God for our doing this. Peter was telling these dear folks whom he so dearly loved, "Folks, I'm going to remind you of how you're to live for Christ until the day I die." What a love Peter must have had for these dear people. His plan was not to retire, but it was to refire and to keep these people fired up for Jesus. This was Peter's life's goal. No matter how long he had left to live upon planet Earth, he was determined to strengthen the brethren so that they might be all that they could be for the cause of Christ. And Christian, conqueror, today, shouldn't this be your desire and my desire as well in our lives? Peter's purpose is found right here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, where he writes these words, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle," speaking of his earthly flesh, his body, "as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." He wanted to stir them up, to wake them up by putting them in remembrance of all that God had done for them and of what God still had in store and wanted to do with them. Oh, that today you and I could be stirred to remembrance. Why? Look at verse 14. "Knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." Verse 13 said, "as long as I am in this tabernacle." But Peter realized that his life on earth was short-lived. Soon, he was going to die. And Peter didn't know how much time he had left to live on this earth. But while he was yet alive, he determined that whatever time he had left, he was going to live it for Christ, and that he was going to use his life to strengthen the brethren, not cause them to doubt or to fall away from God, but rather he was determined to help them stand for truth, and the truth being God's holy word. Peter knew that he was going to die, but he chose to remember how he was supposed to live until he died. Now, folks, let me ask you something this morning. Do you realize how that you should be living and growing for Christ today? Do you understand that God has saved you for a purpose? Oh, that today our recollection of all that God has done for us and of what he still wants to do through us would be stirred within our hearts and our minds if only we would yield our will to his perfect will. Now, let me ask you today, child of God, are you truly satisfied where you are spiritually today? Listen, I never want to be satisfied. I want to be continually growing stronger in the Word of God so that I can strengthen the brethren. I want to be a strength and encouragement to each of you in the Conqueror's class. I want to be found until the day I die, telling the lost world around me that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And all that today, each of us, as Christians, as conquerors, that we would have our memories stirred so that our living serves the one who has saved us. Child of God, why not just make up your mind today that you're going to start living for God and you're going to do all that you can do to learn how to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to add to your faith the virtues that Christ would want you to have and that your life would be fruitful and abundant in the things of God. And then maybe there's somebody listening to my voice today that's never been saved. I don't know who's listening and who's not. But if you're listening today and you have never been saved, my prayer, my desire through this lesson is that you will see your need to come to Jesus and ask him to forgive you of your sin and repent of that sin. And you would be willing to humble your heart and call upon him and ask him to save you today. Listen, if you're not certain of your salvation, if you're not certain of where you would spend eternity when you die, why not right now fall on your knees and ask God to save you? Ask him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sin, and to save your soul today. Father, God, we love you so much. And Lord, I want this lesson to be a help to my people. God, as long as there's air in my lungs and there's opportunity to teach the Word of God, Lord, as long as I have strength in this body to teach others and tell others about the Word of God, give me that strength, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be the man of God that you would have me to be. And Lord, I pray that you'll take every member of this Conqueror's Sunday School class that's listening to the sound of my voice today, and God, you would empower them to have an abundant, fruitful life for you, so that one day when they stand before you, God, they'll not be ashamed, but God, they'll be thankful that they had the Word of God. And they'll be thankful that they lived and they obeyed you, and they made your will in their lives. Oh, God, take this lesson and use it for your honor and for your glory today. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, thank you again for joining us this morning. I hope the lesson has been a help to you. I know it's been a little long, but God bless you today for staying tuned in and listening. And I hope that you'll take the Word of God, pass it on to somebody else, and encourage them to add to their faith the things that God would have them to add, the virtues, the characteristics that Christ would have them to have. And we'll look for you next Sunday at this same time. God bless you until we meet together again.